While I was with Georgiana in the hospital, when I got a text message about 3.5 weeks ago from a guy named Glenn Tepe. Glenn Tepe is one of the elders at Warrenville Bible Chapel, and he was reminding me of coming on Sunday about 3 weeks ago to preach. In 23 years of teaching, I have never forgotten an appointment that I have with someone else, but I did. And I was supposed to speak here on that Sunday. And so, Pavan, I appreciate the fact that you took that message, and I hope you guys were blessed by it. It only proves one thing to me, that I'm getting older, and something is going on with my brain. And I don't know what it is, but Sherry and I went on a vacation too. So, the last 3 weeks, I appreciate you guys working through and muddling through it. Mark was working for a long time trying to figure out that particular schedule. Anyway, thanks for that. Georgiana is home now. She came home on Saturday, and so she's still gaining strength, but she seems to be doing better. Ed's taking care of her, so appreciate all the prayers that you've been given. And Bob Johns effectively gave my message this morning when he was up here talking about Awana. So let's end in prayer. It would be an easy way to go about it. So, and you give me plenty of time to work through my stuff today. We're working through principles. There's two more messages that we have on spiritual gifts. Next week, Kevin Fitz is going to finish up for us on the issue of spiritual gifts. And I've got some things that I want to share with you this morning. I'm not really intending at all, nor has it been the purpose of this type of a series, to go through and define every single spiritual gift and give you a pull-out verse-by-verse expository preaching kind of a thing. We're giving you general principles on the issue of spiritual gifts, with the encouragement that you identify what your spiritual gift is and that you use it. And I certainly hope by now that you're starting to see, and I'm sure you all do see, but you're starting to see the importance of not only having spiritual gifts within the body of Christ, but also the need that we as believers have to know what area we're gifted in so that we can use it. Every believer, every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift, and probably more than one spiritual gift. And the gifts were given to us so that we could serve, so that we could build up, so that we can move forward the church and God's plan that he has for the lost world. And he uses each one of us individually. We're not talking corporately in this sense. We're talking about individually in this sense. You have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've believed on him. You're gifted in some way. And the question then becomes, are you using that gift? Do you know what that gift is to the fullest of your ability? See, we serve with the individual talents that we have that are enhanced by the Spirit. And ministry then becomes the key to all this. I want to remind you of a central passage on spiritual gifts. If there's anything that you can take away from this entire series on spiritual gifts, I hope it's this one verse that sticks in your head. Take away a lot of other things. I over-exaggerate when I teach, okay? There are a lot of things to take away from it, but boy, this is a key aspect of spiritual gifts. And Bob already shared this verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says that spiritual gifts are for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. The reason why God gifts believers differently than he does someone who isn't a believer, those gifts that are given to them is for the equipping. It's like a military kind of a slogan. You know, if you're going to go to war, you don't want to go to war in your regular clothes. You want to have armor, you want to have a sword, you want to have a shield, you want to have a really good general, and you don't really want to fight. At least in my case, I don't want to fight if I'm going off to war, but you're equipped for it so that in the event that you do go to war, you've got that the proper attire and you're fit for it. And that's what spiritual gifts are. We're going to war with the world. We're bringing the message of the gospel to the world. We're serving. We're ministering within the body of Christ. And these gifts are the tools that God gives us to do that very thing. It's for the equipping of the saints for ministry, which suggests that each and every one of us has a ministry to do. And I think if you look at this particular assembly, if you look at what was shared with us with the Iwana, all the people that were involved there, we have a lot of people doing a lot of different things that are working in the gift. I'm sure that there are some that are here that haven't yet identified exactly where they fit in terms of ministry. The purpose of a series like this on spiritual gifts is to get you going on that. And Kevin Fitz next week is going to share a little bit on how to identify those type of things. If you have any questions at all on this, speak with someone. An elder, someone that you trust on this. There are things and there are ways to identify these things because it's the equipping of the saints for ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. We make each other stronger through the exercising of our individual gifts. We make each other stronger. I have more to say on that as we get into this, and so I'm going to save my illustration. I don't want to just give it all right now. I want to give it to you as we go through here. But there are a lot of illustrations to give on this issue of spiritual gifts. They're tools to be used. Some people I know, and I'm not saying that it's here, but I've had this conversation throughout the years that I've been teaching. And there are some students, whether it be at Emmaus or whatever. Some people come up to me and say that there are some gifts that are given to special saved people. You know, some special saved people get the really good gifts. Have you ever heard that? You know that? Did you know that there are really good gifts and there are not so good gifts? A gift, by definition, is something that's a favor that's in this. There are no special gifts. If you have a particular gift, you're given that gift by God for a particular reason. He wanted to give that gift to you. He sees your abilities, he sees your talents as being enhanced through that gift. That makes you special by definition. Someone who isn't saved doesn't have that gift. They might have a natural talent, but they don't have that gift. The fact that you get that particular gift from God and he wants you to exercise that gift makes you special. There are no special gifts given to special people. Everybody gets it. I think that was the point of what Bob was saying earlier with the body of Christ, and I'm not going to read that. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, but I'm not going to read that section on the body that's there. The joining together of the body, the lesser gifts, as he mentioned in the thing here. The lesser gifts, you want to put a label, you want to do a gradation of the gifts. Everything is integral to the working of the body. You cut off your pinky toe, or you cut off your big toe, or you cut off, you're going to have a problem walking with it. I have a problem with my eyes, and apparently Bob does too. So, all right? So it feels good. I don't know, Bob's about my age, so it feels good that there are other people that suffer from the same reading thing that I have when I'm up here. But every part of the body is important to its function, and that's the point of the gifts. We have a lot of verses that we are going to cover this morning. I'm going to read three different passages. There really are four passages that are found within the New Testament when it deals with spiritual gifts. There's three primary passages and then a passage that comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen, we've already dealt with Ephesians 4. We've already dealt with those foundational gifts that were given to the church at its start. There are three other passages that deal with what I call practical gifts of the Spirit, and I'll explain that to you later. So I'm just going to read them. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, but understanding that I'm not going to go through a verse by verse. I'm not going to pick out those type of things. It's just for general knowledge of what we're talking about when it comes to spiritual gifts. So turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And I'll tell you, this will probably be one of those messages that I give that I'm all over the place, and I really hope that I don't confuse you on this. I have a tendency to think this way. I can go this way, and I think that I'm sharing information that people get. But sometimes when I look out at my students that are in there, they're like, huh, with it? And I hope that that's not the kind of message that you get today. There's a lot of thoughts that I have going through my head that I've tried to put down, that I've been thinking about over the last several weeks to a month or so that are on this that I want to share with you. I think in my opinion, pretty important things to share on spiritual gifts. And I hope my trajectory goes well. I'm not a very good archer, and I'm not really good with darts and things like that, so I really hope that I can hit the target so you guys understand what I'm saying. But I do want these verses to be read first before I get into what I want to share with you. Romans chapter 12, and starting in verse 3, although those first verses are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture that are there. Verse 3, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in their generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So there's a lot that's said there on gifts. I'll get to that later. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verses 1 through 11. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's the key. That's exactly what we're talking about in Ephesians 4. That's what we're talking about with the equipping of the saints for the ministry and the building up for the common good. We are gifted in this way for the common good, as it says here by Paul. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then at the end of that chapter, in verses starting in verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do works of miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And then between that, we have that whole conversation on the body, the members of the body, and the giftedness and how they work and function. You have some people might say I have a lesser gift, but it's still important to the gifts and the functioning of the body with Christ as its head, that whole section that's in between there. And the final section that we're going to read is in 1 Peter chapter 4. And not many people will say that this is part of the main teaching on spiritual gifts, although I think there's a key principle that comes out of 1 Peter chapter 4 when it comes to spiritual gifts. I think Peter actually classifies the spiritual gifts for us. Actually goes into a discussion and a description on the classification of those gifts, and I'll share that with you later as well. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God, of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God's, and whoever serves as one who serves with the strength that God supplies him, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I won't go back into those passages again as we work through the rest of my material here. I want to give some general principles on spiritual gifts that I see that is common throughout this. But I think one thing is clear from the reading of those passages, although I haven't given you a list of all the gifts yet, I will give that to you. There's a lot of gifts. There's a lot of things that God wants the church to do to build it up and to equip for ministry. There's a lot of gifts. I counted 20 different gifts. There are different lists in different books that count them differently, but I counted at least 20 different gifts. And they work in different ways to build the body up for service to God. So before we get into a discussion of what I call the practical gifts, let me give you three key principles that we've been working on with spiritual gifts going forward. Okay, so we've had our discussion on spiritual gifts. Let me give you three key principles on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts aren't natural gifts. God has given us the gift of life, and God has given to certain individuals extraordinary talent. Some people are gifted in athletics. I am not so gifted, okay? When I was a young kid, I wanted to do sports. I was never encouraged to do sports, but I wanted to do sports. So I joined the basketball team in my 10th grade year. I'm a terrible basketball player. I admit that up front. But one of the things that I did do was learn how to do free throws, and I could shoot free throws like no one's business. And so when I joined the team, it was a really small team in Applington, Iowa. I joined the basketball team in my 11th grade year when we had moved. And my coach said, okay, you've earned a spot on the team. But he only played me the last 2 minutes of the game. And he said, give the ball to Donnie and let him get fouled. But then he said secretly to me, he says, you know, Donnie, he says, don't shoot the ball. Okay? He wanted me to get fouled so that I would go on the free throw line and shoot my free throws. And I had a really good free throw percentage. But I couldn't drive past anyone. I couldn't do a jump shot to save my life. And I like to think I'm a basketball player. I'm not a basketball player. I like to think that I'm good at softball. But Sherry tells me all the time that I'm not. Okay? That's true. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm okay at it, but she says all the time, I'm not, and I trust her in her opinion when it comes to that. I'm okay with racquetball when it comes to it, but I don't have a natural ability there. You guys have heard me sing, okay? I don't have a natural ability there. We have some great people that can sing, that can really belt it out here. Musically inclined, the cello, of all things, at a church service, it's beautiful to hear. The piano, Melissa, fantastic job with the piano that's here. Emily, right? Emily? Sorry, I get it confused all the time. Emily, I saw your mom looking at her and she goes, I can't believe he doesn't know her name. I do know your name. I do. Trust me. I know it. So some people can play an instrument like no one's business. I can't do that. I don't know if it's my fingers are too big or what it is. There's natural abilities that are given in this. Spiritual gifts are different. Now, a spiritual gift, to be sure, can enhance a natural ability, but a spiritual gift is given to someone who's saved, which begs the question. Which begs the question. And I think throughout this whole thing, are you saved? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Have you come to the point where you've listened and you've heard enough of the gospel to understand who Jesus was? That you understand that he lived 2,000 years ago, but that he was God's Son in the flesh? That he was God in the flesh, not a human being like us. He was different in that sense, where he was God in the flesh, took on flesh, but was God in every way. And then are you up on what he came to do? Sure, he died, but why did he die? He died to save us from our sins through the giving of his blood. If you're there, and there's no reason why not to come at this point in time. Because where you are right now, when you come to Christ, there's things that are given to you, not just eternal life, which is enough. There are gifts that are lavished upon you that God has for you to do in his ministry and in service to the church. So believers are the ones who get spiritual gifts, and every believer gets gifts in this. A second point is that I think that a spiritual gift can be wasted and ignored. Spiritual gifts can be wasted and ignored. There are some Christians who are genuinely saved, and we know this from Scripture, that become backslidden, who decide that the pleasures and the lures of the world, of the material world, are more important than following after what God says in here, and they pursue those things. I remember several years ago, it was many years ago, I'm getting a lot older than this. Sherry and I went to New York City and visited one of my closest friends, Metamaeus. He and I were very close. He was in my wedding party. And I remember this. We went and saw him. He came in to an establishment where we were eating burgers and basically broadcast to us that he was living with someone, that he was not married to this girl, and that he was basically getting involved in a life of sin, and he was having pleasure in this, and don't say anything to him whatsoever about it. He's now since changed his ways. He's back to the Lord, and he's doing a great job right now. But someone who is like that, someone who is backslidden, who is intentionally going away from it, and I have no doubt that this person is a Christian and was a Christian even when they were going through that, the gifts can't be used. It's a wasting of gift. Someone has to be spiritually healthy and spiritually sound for gifts to work in that sense. So they can be wasted, but they can also be ignored. Do you know of anyone who just comes to church to come to church on a Sunday? They wake up, I have to go. Mom's expecting me to go. Dad's expecting me to go. I want to make sure that I get my name ticked off that list. You know, I showed up on that particular day. You sit down, you go through, you listen to the worship service, you sing the songs, you pray, you listen to a message, and then you know that person that leaves and does nothing else during the week? That's ignoring spiritual gifts. It's not necessarily that they're backslidden. They're just not doing anything. And nor do they feel the need to do anything, which is dangerous. It's not just dangerous for them. It's dangerous for the entire body. We need that person to exercise their gift. That's what makes the body strong. That's what makes the body function correctly, is every single one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ exercising a gift. If you choose to waste it or if you choose to ignore it, it does no benefit at all to the body and it does no benefit to you. And that's the point. So spiritual gifts can be wasted and they can be ignored. And I encourage you, if you fall into that category, to do a spiritual inventory of yourself and see where it is that you fall in this. Are you someone who needs the prodding of looking into spiritual gifts and using it? The third thing that I think needs to be addressed before we get into this as well is that there seems to be, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, there seems to be a classification of gifts. So I've dealt with two things. First off, spiritual gifts are given to believers. It can be ignored and wasted. But there are two classifications, it seems, of the gifts. And so when we list off, when I share with you the 20 gifts that I think are mentioned in those passages, an easy way, I think, to think of those is that they fall into two categories, as Peter shares with us in 1 Peter 4, as we've read. It says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God. Whoever speaks, I think that's the first classification of gifts, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and then whoever serves. So I think they're broken up into two different categories. They're the speaking gifts, and they're the serving gifts. I know that there are other classifications, and other people do a much better job in this, but I think Peter's giving us that breakdown. That's why I think 1 Peter 4 is important when you discuss spiritual gifts, is that it gives us this breakdown. It gives us the category. There are those that fall into the speaking gifts, and then there are those that fall into the serving gifts that are in here. But let me also be clear on this. All of the gifts that we have, whether you want to categorize them as speaking gifts or serving gifts, all of the gifts are serving gifts. Someone who is gifted in the area of teaching doesn't mean that that person isn't serving. Now, I've done this for some time. I know Mark's done it for some time. I know that Robert's done this for some time. And there are other people that have just given themselves into teaching. And you'll know that it's not just coming up and spending 45 minutes of just sharing what's there. Some of us script our sermons out. Some people go through bullet points. We're constantly on the phone and through email and text message. It takes time to put a message together. There's service that's there. There's service not only in energy, and I'm not trying to brag on that. I'm just giving you the breakdown of what it's like to give a message that's in this. It's serving as well. Teaching is serving in this way. You serve God. You give your time. You give your energy, and you hope you share something that somebody can take, that the Spirit will give and latch onto and cause the body to grow. And there are some people that are really good at it, and to be quite honest, I've heard some that aren't in this. But it doesn't mean that that person hasn't put the time and the energy into it. They're serving. If someone evangelizes, they're doing the speaking part of it too. It takes a great deal of energy to evangelize in that. That's service in those. Now, they may seem like the big gifts, and back in the first century world, some people were speaking in tongues, some people were interpreting tongues, some people were doing miracles, some people were healing, and some people might say, whoa, those are the extraordinary gifts that are there. Wish I was that kind of a person. Wish I could speak in tongues. Wish that I could heal somebody. Well, there's service that's in that as well, in these. All gifts are serving gifts, regardless of what it is that someone does. But there are those gifts that are specifically service-oriented. I think that's what Peter's getting at here. There are some gifts that are specifically service-oriented. Helps, for instance. One of the things that we've appreciated as a family, I think Michelle could speak to this, and I think Sherry could speak to this. I know Ed would do the same thing. One of the things that we've appreciated so much is the concern that you guys have had for Georgianne. The amount of cards that she's had, the flowers that she's had, the balloons, the visits that you've had, the comments that are done on Facebook. You know what? That has encouraged us. And I am convinced that many of the people that pursue those type of things have the gift of helps, or the gift of exhortation, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of giving. You're exercising your gift. But you know what? We wouldn't be blessed if you weren't exercising that gift. If Mom received no cards, if she received no phone calls, if she received no visits, we'd be saying to ourselves, well, what kind of a body are we involved in here? They're not helping, they're not encouraging, they're not exhorting. The fact that you're exercising the gift, that's a service. That's a service to our family, that's a service to Georgianne. It's a perfect illustration on what it is to use a spiritual gift to build up the body and to edify. Mom is extremely encouraged, though she's going through some hard times right now, from you all, and wants to be here. Listen, the Ovaries just had another kid, a boy. Which is great. I know they wanted that, right? They wanted a boy that's in this. Some of you are planning right now to give meals to them. I don't know if you are. My guess is, all right, my guess is that's in the process right now, that they're thinking of doing meals for them. You know why I can say that without even knowing? Because I'm convinced that there are some that are here that do that form of ministry, exercising their spiritual gift in that way. And you know what? The Ovaries are blessed for it, and we as a body are blessed by the exercising of your gift, that service. That service, the gifts that are given for service. Others of you might give money. Others of you might be on standby to take kids to camp and driving. Some of you might be dumb enough to go to camp and work with Bob. That's serving too, right? In the kitchen of all places, right, Janet? I mean, that was probably a hard work, feeding of the 5,000. That would have been hard work that was in it. To give a week of your vacation and stay in a room that's 100 degrees on a 4-inch mattress on plywood, you're a better man than I am, Bob, and Pavan, and others that would do this. You know what? There's an exercise of giftedness that's there to give of that time and that energy in service. That's the point. It builds up people. It builds up everyone. We're all encouraged through this and through the exercising of the gifts. I'm sure I spent too much time on that. Let me get into the practical gifts now, okay? We've already spent time working through the foundational gifts, those gifts that were given to the first century church, where I believe, and I think many that teach on this believe, that some of the gifts that are mentioned in this list are gifts that cease with the apostles. They're used for foundational purposes. Gifts such as apostleship, gifts such as healing, gifts, and that's not to say that God doesn't continue to heal, but a specific gift that's tailored that way, gifts of miracles, gift of tongues, or the interpretation of tongues. Those are foundational gifts, and in my opinion, are gifts that have ended with the first century church, where the need was great for those gifts, for the promotion and the advancement of the church, to strengthen the people that were there. When you go beyond that, the rest of the gifts are what I would lump into what I call the practical gifts of the Spirit. They're found within the early church, they're found within the Middle Ages, they're found in the Reformation period, they're found today that are in here. They're practical gifts. You will not find that title in any book, all right? And you can challenge me on that title all you want on it, and you'll be right probably in doing so. I think they're practical. There's a practicality to these gifts as they're mentioned and as they are used. And so I like to refer to them as the practical gifts of the Spirit. Now, let me give you a list of all of them, including the five that I mentioned that were foundational, just so you know what they are. And if I pay attention here, too, because I'd love to have a line of people saying, well, you missed this one, you missed this one, you missed this one. Took a lot of time, just so you know, okay, going through and reading through each of those passages and putting it on a sheet of paper trying to figure out what these gifts are. This is what I got, all right? There are gifts of prophecy, gifts of apostleship, gifts of tongues, gifts of the interpretation of tongues, the distinguishing of spirits, healing, teaching, serving, exhortation, discernment, giving, leadership, administration, mercy, knowledge, faith, evangelism, miracles, helps, and then pastoring slash shepherding. That's 20. Okay? That's in here. Did you notice as the list was giving out that it covers such a broad spectrum of areas that need the need of those gifts to be exercised within the body to make it work well? The gift of helps, for instance. When we went to take Leah to camp, we stopped here on your workday, the workday that we did here as a church, and I saw so many people working on the fence, working up here, painting, working on a door. Bob was sitting at a table doing something that was up here with Awana and all that stuff. Just the helps area like that. It was encouraging to me to see so many people working together to make this building stand up and function the way that it should. The giving of the donuts and the fruit and whoever takes care of the water and the coffee and empties the trash or vacuums this place. Even those gifts, helps that are mentioned within this. Broad spectrum of giftedness to make the body of Christ run well. And I think that is the bulk of those gifts. Now, I'm not going to go through and define each one of them. And you can thank me for that. That probably would not make a really good message as you go through there. I think most of them are self-explanatory as you go through, so I don't need to define them for you. I found it interesting as I was working through some of these studies that are done on spiritual gift, and I guess maybe there is a need for someone who comes that doesn't understand it, but most of them defined the spiritual gifts. I think it's self-explanatory in many cases what these gifts are. And so what I want to do is highlight from some of the gifts, key principles to spiritual gifts that I want to share with you. Three of them in particular. I'm working in threes this morning. But there are three in particular, three important principles on spiritual gifts that are important that can come from this. Let's take, for example, the gift of shepherding or pastoring, all right, which is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, although we didn't read that. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the gift of shepherding and pastoring. There are persons that are gifted in the area of shepherding and pastoring. We have some that are here at Fenton Crossing. This is a gift that helps out a congregation through the exercising of an ability to lead, an ability to do what is necessary for the flock in terms of leadership, in terms of decisions that need to be made to go forward. Some are gifted in the area of discerning false teaching, and then knowing what to do when confronted with false teaching. They're protecting the flock against such individuals, and they're protecting the flock against some individuals who have false practices that are in this. There are some that are gifted towards this. Now, here's the important principle that I want to share with you. And don't throw stones at me on this one, okay? But I really do strongly believe this. There are some that have the gift of pastoring and eldering that don't bear the office, that don't bear the title, that are so gifted in the area that they do those things but without the title. There's a tendency, I think, and my second point, which I'll get into in just a second here, is this one. There's a tendency on the part of many people that when they see the office and they see the title, they think, I don't have that gift and I can't exercise that gift. That isn't true. Listen, I'm not titled as such, but I would like to think that I can root out false teaching and protect people against false teaching. I think that I can lead, I can nourish, I can do these other things like that. I think there are people that are gifted like that, that don't bear the title, but they don't exercise the gift because they think they need the title that's in this. And I don't think that's true at all, in one way, at all. That's the case with many of the spiritual gifts. You know, there are some people that won't pursue evangelism. They won't evangelize because they don't think they have the gift of evangelism. The ones that really are good at it are the ones that should be doing evangelism. That's my second point. You know, you look at the at pastor and teacher, you get into the area of evangelism. I'm not evangelistic. I give messages on the gospel in my classes that I teach. I see very, very little fruit that's in this. But I give them the gospel. I think I give it clearly. I think I give it passionately. But I don't believe I have the gift of evangelism. Now, you get Kevin Fitz, or you get Jim, you get Jimmy, you get Randy, you get others that are gifted in the area of evangelism. They can run circles around me when it comes to evangelism. They say a word and 10 people are saved in this. There's something that goes on. You know, they give a message at Christmas time, and you're sitting back and you're listening, boy, that's a really good message. I think I said the same thing last week. And there's 10 people that are saved when they give it, and nobody. And that's the giftedness part of it. That's the truth of it all. But many people think that because they don't have the gift of evangelism, they aren't supposed to evangelize. That's not my gift. You know what Matthew chapter 28 says? 18 through 20? It says, go and make disciples of all people. Who's he saying that to? His disciples that are there? Yeah, but by proxy, all disciples. We're all supposed to evangelize. No matter what, we have good news. We've been saved. Now share that with someone, whether you have the gift or not. But God so gives some to be extraordinarily good and effective when it comes to the presenting of the gospel. And that's the second important point is that, you know, just because someone holds the title doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. We should do that as well. All of us should do it. That's in this. Let me give you a third important principle in this too. Let's go to the gift of administration. And these are principles, by the way, that I think are with all of the spiritual gifts that are in this. Just because you may not be so gifted, like, for instance, in the area of giving, some of you might say, I'm not gifted in the area of giving, so I'm not going to give. I'll let the person who's giving give. That's their gift. Some people might have that attitude that's in it. I'm not gifted in the area of giving, so I'm not going to give. No, we're all called to give. Some people will give extraordinarily in that because that's their spiritual gift, giving of time or giving of money. We're all supposed to do that, whether we have that gift or not. I think you see my point. The third thing, like, for instance, with the area of administration, there are some people that are called to lead, and not just in the area of pastoring or eldering. There are some people that are gifted in the area of administration, that they can just make things run well. If you put me in charge of Awana, next year we wouldn't have an Awana program. It's not that I wouldn't try. I wouldn't know how to organize it. I wouldn't know how to make it go. I'd have to rely upon other people. If you put me in charge of something like that, we wouldn't have an Awana program. But my guess is, and I don't know, I haven't done a spiritual inventory here, that Jimmy, you probably have the gift of administration. Bob, you probably have the gift of administration. And if, or at least one of you guys do, because it works really, really well. It's a well-oiled machine. They steer things. Cindy does a bang-up job with the Sunday school program. You probably don't even know that she's doing stuff that's behind the scenes. But you know what? If you've ever seen her notes and things like that, yeah, most likely Cindy has the gift of administration in this. Things that are necessary for us to do it. I've been put in charge of things, trust me. When I was hired on at Emmaus in 2005, I was the director of distance ed. 2 years later, they nixed the program, okay? I came on at SLU to be the director of distance education. And guess what? I'm now the head of what they call the 1818 program, which is advanced placement for juniors and seniors. Nothing about distance ed in there. And I'm certainly hoping that I do a good job with this one so that I can stay on. But I don't think that I have an administrative bone in my body, but some of you do have that as a particular gift that's in this. Which brings up another point, okay? The next important point. Do you ever wonder why they spend time at Awana like they do, like, or at Awana camp, why so many people go down and do this? Why do they do this every year? Why do they give Thursday night to coming and spending time with those kids and doing this? I'm not sure if this is true, so you can correct me afterwards, but there's some aspect of which they enjoy what they're doing. There's got to be some aspect of pleasure and joy that's involved in the exercising of that particular gift, with all the frustrations that come with it, with the sweating and all the other things, you know, yeah, you know, the lack of water and sleep and stuff like that. There's got to be something to them exercising that gift. I think they enjoy it. I think I'm not against spiritual inventories. I don't know what Kevin's going to say next week. I don't know if he's going to talk about Tim LaHaye or some of these other programs of identifying spiritual gifts. I'm not against it. So, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not against those things. I've taken my fair share of those. And, in fact, I've tried to skew them sometimes so that I can go a particular way with a spiritual gift. It's a danger that's involved in that. You know, when a student, takes a spiritual gift inventory in a class at Emmaus or something like that, they might think, I want the gift of speaking. And so they'll just, I know that that's going towards speaking, so they'll exit like this way, though they don't have it at all. And at the end, oh, I've got the gift of speaking. You know, no. All the spiritual inventories in the world that you can take, all the books that you can read, when it boils down to it for me, is that if you want to know what your spiritual gift is, do something. Do something. Right? You could take that list and you could say, oh, these are my spiritual gifts, and then do nothing at all with it. If you want to know if you have the gift of teaching, come up to somebody who teaches and say, can you lead a class? Can you counsel me? I'd like to see if I can go up in front of people and share things. Someone who does it well. And then try it. Trust me, people will tell you if you have the gift or not. Right? If you're teaching, right? Am I right? If somebody's up front and they're teaching and you say to that person, you know, you did a great job, or somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you may not have that gift, right? Even though you might think you have the gift, people will validate the gift for you. Trust me in this. You don't know if you have the gift of helps? You know what you need to do? Help. And if you enjoy it, and if you're validated by it by others, that's your gift. I really do believe that on how it works out. Take your inventories, figure out what it is, but the key to it all is doing something. And let me end with these three principles for you. And I know that was probably very confusing. It is on an MP3 thing, and you can listen to it again. And I know it's very confusing as we go through it, but I think those are key principles to hold from this. The first key principle is that you don't need the office to exercise the gift. The second key principle is that some people think that when you hold the office, they're the ones with the gift and they don't want to do anything about it. You got to do something. And the third principle is just do something to learn your gift. All right? And these three things will happen. These are forms of encouragement to you. The first thing is that will happen, and I genuinely believe this, there is no greater satisfaction in the Christian life after salvation than knowing where you fit in to the body of Christ. Knowing where your place is, knowing what your function is, knowing how you can be used by God to the benefit of the body of Christ. Some of you may not know what that is yet. You might be in limbo land. What am I doing here? Well, that's the benefit of this type of messages that are coming. Kevin, next week, I think, isn't what you're sharing next week, Kevin, the identifying of gift? Not the whole thing, right? Is that the whole message? Yeah, it's just like a review, but then there's also that. If you come next week then, if you don't know where you're at, and get some help in this. Or if you want to get help earlier, ask someone about it. But the key is doing something. There's no greater satisfaction, I think, than knowing where you fit in. What tool are you that God wants to use for the building and the equipping of the saints? What is your tool? Are you a hammer? Are you a microphone? Are you a crutch? You know, what are a Band-Aid? What are you in this, and figure out what that is? And the second thing is that falls naturally from that. When you identify what your gift is and you're using that gift to the best, there other people are blessed by it. I'm blessed by you all. I'm blessed by what you do for my family. I'm blessed by what ministries you give all the way around. Other people are edified by the natural outpouring of your gift. It's for the equipping of the saints for ministry, for the building up. I love meeting with Mark, and I love meeting with other people at times because they build me up. You know, with accountability, Bible studies, working together. I'm sure that there was a building up process that was being done on work day, going down to camp, being involved in Awana, being involved in food preparation, singing, sharing, whatever it is. There's a building up that's done. There's an encouragement. Don't you feel different after the worship service than before you came in? Some of us might even be dreading, oh, do I want to go to worship service? But you go to worship service, and then something happens at the end of it. You're edified from it. Some people refer to it as your spiritual gas tank becomes full. There's a blessing that's there. That's not a mistake. That's the building up part of this in spiritual gifts. When you know what it is and you can exercise it fully, you build others up. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter ends that section on his just short little thing on spiritual gifts. This is what he says here. Whoever speaks as the one who speaks oracles from God, whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength of God, in order that in everything God may be glorified. When we exercise our gifts the way that they're supposed to be exercised, as the tool that we are of God, and we edify others, you know what we're doing? We're glorifying God. One of my favorite statements that come from catechisms is in the Westminster Confession of Faith. I love it. At one point I had it printed up and put it on my office. I've got it memorized. It's actually one of the very first questions that come out of the Westminster Confession of Faith. It says, what is the chief end of man? And I live this as a motto in my life. You know what that is? Can somebody quote it? Yeah, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I don't have a problem with creeds. Creeds are simple summaries of Scripture. Really, if you go back and you look in history, you look at the Apostolic Creed, you look at the Nicene Creed, you look at any creed, it's not an invention. What they're doing is they're going in Scripture and they're trying to make it easy for people to understand what it is. Short summaries of what's found in here. That's what a catechism is. The Westminster Confession of Faith sums up what our purpose is in life. And I do believe this of a Christian. Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him. You glorify God through the exercising of the gift that you have. If you're ignoring that gift, or if you're wasting that gift by being backslidden or just being satisfied with coming here and listening and going home and doing nothing, you're not glorifying God. What a remarkable idea it is that we as sinful people have an opportunity to glorify our Creator. We can glorify Him through the exercising of a gift. But I love that second part too, because many people in here don't, but to enjoy Him. Do you know that we're supposed to enjoy God? That we're not supposed to live life fearful of doing something or that. God wants us as saved people to really enjoy life and enjoy life together in Him. That's the purpose of life. I remember that there was a book that I read, and I will seriously close after that third point that's right there, but I remember a book that I read on the early brethren where there was a lady that came in from a different denomination in the 1800s and sat down in a brethren things, and they were just so uptight like this, and she said it looks like they wore a necktie like a noose around their head because they were just so, you know, when it comes to it. Sometimes we hold the Christian life in that way, fearful of what... I think that sums it up. Glorify God, but enjoy Him. Enjoy life. Enjoy life in the body of Christ. Enjoy life together here at this assembly. And there is a great way for us to enjoy, and that is exercise your gift. And I think, honestly, that if you do a gift, you don't know what it is, but if you enjoy it, that might be your gift. That's in it. If that was confusing, I apologize, but that's... That's what I can see from these passages, and Kevin can make it all make sense next week when we get together. So let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us these gifts. Thank You, Father, for giving us the gift of eternal life, first and foremost. Thank You for letting us know who You are, not just because You share it with us in Your word, but that You've opened up our minds, You've opened up our hearts through Your Spirit to understand the truth of what You say. Many people read the same things that we do and don't understand, don't believe it, think that it's false, say that it holds no truth. But we know, Father, that You've shared Yourself with us, that You've revealed Yourself with us in Scripture. And thank You that You've caused us through Your Spirit to know You and to know You deeply, because of what Your Son has done for us on the cross. And we thank You, Father, that not only have You saved us from our sins, that You've saved us from the punishment that was ours, but that You've also gifted us in so many great ways. And I just pray, Father, that each one of us as individuals will know what our gift is and choose to use it to build us up and to edify each other. And in the process, Father, we can glorify You. Father, it's a great thing to be in Your family. It's a great thing to be part of a community like this. And so we just ask for Your help in doing these things. Help us to pursue, if there are some that are here that don't know what their spiritual gift is, or might have an inkling of what it is, but aren't positive on this, that they would pursue that. Father, I would pray if there are some that are here that don't know you as Savior, that this would be the right time to do it as well. So let your Spirit move mightily, Father. Thank you again for giving us your word, and as we look forward to next week and the wrapping up of this series on the spiritual gifts, be with Kevin as he prepares as well in this. But your Spirit go mightily forward from us. We pray this in Christ's name.